We are the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short.
Hello, and welcome to the Papers podcast series for the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short. I'm Mark Tebbs, and I'm a freelance consultant. Today, I'm really pleased to be talking to Dr. Louise Asugia and Dr. Louise Farhat, who are the co-first authors of a paper entitled Efficacy of Stimulants for Preschool Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, a Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis, recently published in JCPP Advances. Lovely to be speaking to you both today. Could you introduce yourselves and the people that you worked with?
Hi, Mark. Thank you very much for inviting us. My name is Louise Asugia, and I am a child and adolescent psychiatrist at the Institute of Psychiatry at the University of São Paulo in Brazil. There, I work at the Early Diagnosis and Intervention Program outpatient clinic, which provides evaluation and treatment for preschool children with ADHD and other comorbidities. And this has been the main focus of my research, as well as early irritability.
And it's nice to be here as well. Thank you for the invitation. I am a physician from Brazil who's finishing his PhD studies. My main focus of research is similar to Louisa, ADHD and neurodevelopmental disorders, broadly speaking. And I'm particularly interested in meta-analysis and systematic reviews with an emphasis in clinically relevant research questions. And the other two authors that contributed to this paper are Pietro, who is a psychiatric resident here in Brazil, and Professor Guilherme Polenzink, who is the head of child and adolescent psychiatry here. He's also a university professor at University of São Paulo and sort of our mentor in this project and much others.
Could you start by giving us a brief overview of your review paper to set the scene for our listeners?
ADHD, or attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder, is a common neurodevelopmental disorder characterized by symptoms of inattention, hyperactivity, and impulsivity that typically emerge in early childhood. And we know that it has a chronic course and is associated with increased morbidity and mortality. And the literature shows that preschool children already present significant impairment, such as peer rejection, increased risk of accidents, and academic underachievement. What underscores for us the importance of early diagnosis and interventions. But when we think about current guidelines, they recommend behavior parent training and leave the stimulants as a second-line interventions for those children who persist with symptoms and impairment. However, when we look at the literature, there are still important questions about the best treatment for preschoolers with ADHD. On one hand, we have a limited number of studies evaluating the use of this kind of medication for preschoolers, in contrast to what we have for older children or school-age children and adolescents. On the other hand, meta-analysis has shown that behavior parent training reduces ADHD symptoms only when they are reported by unblinded informants, what raises questions about its efficacy. Also, there are concerns about the limited access that we have for behavior interventions globally. In this context, what we have is that many preschoolers with ADHD either go untreated or receive medications with little evidence. Thus, more studies about the use of stimulants for preschool children with ADHD are necessary and important to inform how to treat these kids.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. You've kind of touched on it, but I just wondered whether you could just describe a little bit more about your original research aims.
Basically, the aim of this research is to do a systematic review and meta-analysis to review the available evidence and to evaluate the efficacy and acceptability of stimulants for preschool children with ADHD. For me personally, I have a lot of interest in this research questions based on my experience in the outpatient clinic, which we face many challenges when we need to treat these kids. And also from a research point of view, for us, it was kind of an opportunity to move forward because a few years ago, we conducted a randomized clinical trial called the MAP studies that evaluate the efficacy of methylphenidate and behavior parent training for preschool children with ADHD. And when we decided to do the studies, there was no meta-analysis evaluating discussions about the effects of stimulants on the treatment for preschoolers with ADHD.
Okay, thank you for that. Filling in that gap. How did you conduct the review? And be really useful if you could tell us whether there are any particular methodological challenges.
Sure. There were no specific challenges to this project other than the usual challenges that we face when doing a systematic review. So it always starts with having a team. You always need to do steps in duplicated to ensure that everything is tracking and you're not missing anything. Then you go on to develop the research question, which goes into thinking a little bit what patient population you're interested in, what intervention, what controls are you going to consider for your analysis, and then specifically what outcomes. And here, for the outcomes specifically, we considered what's relatively standard in the literature, at least for meta-analysis in ADHD. We also followed previous meta-analysis in restricting eligibility to participants who actually had a confirmed diagnosis. So there are quite a bit of additional trials that didn't formally assess diagnostic criteria in individuals with ADHD, but just labeled them as hyperactive. And we didn't consider those. So essentially, all studies were based on DSM criteria. And then after you go through the literature with systematic searches, and that usually comprises both published and unpublished sources, and we did that in this study as well, then we sort of have this list of all RCTs that could be available to us. And then it's sort of a detective a little bit work and trying to piece together the studies, trying to extract data, communicating with authors. So more of a like persistent effort rather than a specific difficulty. And yeah, then in the end, the analysis, there is excellent software out there that's open access in R that's pretty helpful. And all of those analyses were done with those softwares. And I think we published the codes. So if there are any readers interested in learning a bit more, maybe that could be helpful.
Thanks for that description of what you did. Yes, let's turn to the results. So what were the key findings from the review?
Our first question, as Luisa mentioned, was to see whether stimulants would work better than the placebo for preschoolers with ADHD. And here, preschoolers were defined as individuals below 7 years of age, but most trials really had individuals between 4 to 5 years old. What we found was that in terms of ADHD symptoms, at least, the stimulants had a moderate effect size in comparison to placebo, in leading to reductions of the severity of ADHD symptoms. And again, we did look only at symptoms. We didn't consider more functional outcomes, but this is in part because, unfortunately, previous trials, I'd say up to now, trials still consider symptoms as the primary outcome, usually. In terms of acceptability, we also had a sort of proxy outcome, which is discontinuation rate. So whether people were able to finish and continue taking the medication throughout the trial, we didn't find any association between stimulants and placebo in terms of the discontinuation rates. So usually when interventions are more efficacious, they tend to be more acceptable. We did have relatively few data to examine this outcome, and we were not as sure about the result that we found for acceptability. Whereas for efficacy, changing ADHD symptoms, because that is a continuous outcome, and all trials had data that could be used for that, we are a little bit more confident that the effect size that we found is probably close to the true effect size. And in terms of the literature search, I do want to also emphasize, we did find very few studies. We just had 5 randomized trials and a little bit less than 500 participants. This is in stark contrast with what is available in the school-age children and adolescents, as I am pretty sure, at least in the Cortez paper in 2018, that's published in Lancet Psychiatry. I believe they had 81 trials and probably over 4,000 kids. So there is a huge disparity in the evidence. Our effect size for children and adolescents, for preschool children, was also smaller than the one for children and adolescents, considering what's reported in the Cortez et al. Meta-analysis. And we're not super sure what that means. It could be that stimulants work a little bit worse in preschoolers, but it could also be measurement error or even just sort of too few studies available to make a definitive conclusion. It would be interesting to later examine this more directly. We didn't. And also all studies were essentially short-term studies. So I think at most 8 weeks, it's usually less than 3 months in ADHD in general trials, RCTs of stimulants. And this for preschoolers, this wasn't any differently, which is sort of a limitation, of course, because an important concern with stimulants is first, whether they work as well as they work in the short term, whether they work in the long term as well as they work in the short term, but also with the very young children, whether using the medication at such young age has any like safety concerns as they grow old. And we didn't find studies that could give us hints of that, or at least we couldn't find a large number of studies that could be included in our meta-analysis and pulled together. Maybe individual studies have reported like follow-ups, but we didn't find any randomized trials with that specific question.
Thank you for that. So I was just wondering, was there anything that particularly surprised you about those results?
I wasn't surprised. So as I said, from the larger evidence available for school-age children and adolescents, I think it's somewhat expected that we found what we found. The idea that stimulants may also work a little bit worse in preschoolers is also something that's floating around based on these individual studies. And in the end, because we are essentially reanalyzing data from studies, we are sort of getting the same conclusion, at least in this analysis. So I'd say no, I'd say findings were relatively within what we were expecting.
So I want to move on to the implications of the review. So could you describe the implications maybe from a clinical perspective initially?
I think this is a very important question, Mark. And that's why we included a section that discusses clinical recommendations at the end of the paper. And here, I think we need to think not only about the evidence regarding the use of stimulants, but also consider what we have and what we don't have about the efficacy and safety of other medications, and also the effects of behavior pattern training. And I think that although our study has limitations, and although we still have important gaps in the literature, as Luis has just described, I think that our findings showing that stimulants are efficacious in reducing ADHD symptoms among preschool children are clinically relevant, and we should take this into account. Because when we think about the behavior pairing training, there is these issues that I mentioned before, that we have questions about if it can really reduce ADHD symptoms. And actually, meta-analysis shows that this kind of intervention actually reduces disruptive behaviors and improve parenting practice. Thus, as we include in the paper, we think that behavior pattern training must be indicated for these kids, particularly for those who has disruptive behavior and for those who has parents who has dysfunctional practice. But we argue that stimulants should be considered by clinicians, even without the previous trial of behavior pattern training, especially when we think about those children that are above 4 years of age and that has moderate or even severe symptoms, and that has, for example, limited access to behavior pattern training, and when the pharmacological treatment is the family preference. And this is because we have data in literature showing that in clinical practice, there are many preschoolers with ADHD that either receive other types of medication with even less evidence or go untreated. Despite the limitations and the limited evidence that we have, we think it's important to consider this.
Yeah, because this is the kind of, I guess this is the best evidence. So I'm just wondering where that leaves us in terms of maybe policy or prescribing guidance. Is there anything you could add from a policy perspective, I guess?
I think here, again, we need to look at both sides, because when we talk about policy and guidelines on prescribing a medication, I think it is important to take into account these gaps in the literature that we just mentioned. And I think this highlights the importance we have in more studies that can support maybe changes in the current guidelines or support this clinical practice. But on the other hand, it's really important to consider that many children do not have access to behavior interventions, the fact that they often receive medications, which there are more concerns regarding safety and less evidence about its efficacy. And here I would mention the use of antipsychotics, because in the literature we have studies that shows that some children receive antipsychotics prior to the use of stimulants. And for this kind of medications, we have a lot of concerns with long-term treatment related to metabolic adverse events, weight gain, hyperlipidemia, diabetes. So I think in this scenario, our studies reinforce that stimulants do work for young children with ADHD, and that it's important to consider that class of medications when we are treating preschoolers.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just putting myself in the position of a kind of like a parent or a carer with a preschool child with ADHD. What advice would you give parents in that probably quite difficult situation?
My advice would be to parents and carers to talk to and discuss the decision with their clinicians, because it's tough to decide when we have these gaps in the literature. But when I think with a good conversation and a mindful decision, we can think about what would be the best treatment for their children. And one thing that we should consider is that kind of balance what we have in the literature, what has been the impairment that these children has, and the risks that both we have of giving a medication, but also the risks that we have in of not treating this kid. And I think that irrespective of the chosen treatment, it's important to have a careful and continuous assessment of symptoms, global functioning, adverse events, as well as periodic revisions of the diagnosis, new arising comorbidities, and family environment. I think in clinical practice, it helps us to have a more individualized and proper decisions.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. As we're coming towards the end of the podcast, I'd just like to pick up on whether there's any potential implications from a research perspective from your paper.
As we mentioned, I think our paper supports the role of stimulants in the treatment of ADHD, but also it makes clear that we need more research on this field. As Luis mentioned, we have only 5 RCTs. We don't have data about long-term effects, both regarding efficacy and safety. So I think it makes clear that should be a priority. And I think it would be very important for us to fill these gaps and also to having more data when we think about potential moderators and mediators of defects, maybe this will help to have a more individualized decision.
Thank you. And are you planning any further research? Is there anything you'd like to share with us about studies you've got in the pipeline?
Yeah, we're working with that sort of building upon this study. So as Luisa mentioned, first question that naturally comes to mind is, and this is also considering the results from the MAPA study that she mentioned, comparing therapy and stimulant medications in preschoolers that was conducted here. So if stimulants are efficacious for preschool ADHD, and therapy may also be as efficacious as the stimulant medications, one question that comes to mind is then maybe there will be individuals who will benefit most from one treatment and there will be individuals who will benefit most from the other treatment. And so trying to identify these characteristics that are associated with a differential response, for instance, in methylphenidate against placebo, is an important next step. There are very few studies evaluating this, so we're trying to acquire data from these specific studies that we included to try to originally conduct this analysis. And this has been a little bit challenging for those who have worked previously with acquiring data from trials. It's always a little bit challenging. So hopefully we'll be able to complete that. The MAPA study showing that the treatments might be equivalent is a sort of direct comparison between these two treatments being, again, stimulants and behavioral therapy. But there are several other trials that have compared, for instance, as we included in this meta-analysis, the stimulants against placebo And there are also therapy trials that compare, different behavioral therapy protocols with a control condition. So if we're able to also leverage all this information in just one analysis, besides considering what the study that was conducted here showed, we might be able to have a little bit more statistical power to detect differences across treatments. And so this is also something that we're working with. And this is research led by Professor Samuel Cortez from University of Southampton. So these are sort of two meta-analytical developments from this specific study that are in the pipeline.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. So just finally, is there like a take-home message for our listeners?
First thing, this is the first meta-analysis to evaluate the efficacy and acceptability of stimulants for the treatment of preschool children with ADHD. And our findings did demonstrate that stimulants are efficacious in reducing symptoms. And so it represents a treatment option for preschoolers. As Luisa greatly talked about, whether it should be recommended as a first-line treatment or whether it works in the long term and whether it's safe in the long term, we don't really know. But as science, I guess, we're always making small progresses. And this is sort of a good conclusion to take away. It's important also to emphasize that preschool children with ADHD should not be left untreated until they reach school age or their impairment becomes severe, and they should receive treatment supported by the best evidence available. And our study sort of contributes some evidence to that.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for your time and for this really interesting podcast. For more details on Dr. Luisa Sugia and Dr. Louise Farhat, please visit the ACAM website, www.acam.org, and Twitter at ACAM. ACAM is spelled A-C-A-M-H. And don't forget to follow us on your preferred streamer platform. Let us know if you enjoy the podcast with a rating review, and do share with friends and colleagues.